Hi, Beowulf here with Justice Matters. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they are here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. And that takes time. It takes effort. Angie, however, has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie and connect with and hire skilled professionals that you need to get the job done well. Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and in your specific area, right in your neighborhood. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. The app and website is free to use. Angie.com, that's A-N-G-I, Angie.com. It's time for Justice Matters with former federal prosecutor and MSNBC analyst Glenn Kirshner. Former White House official Hope Hicks has testified in Donald Trump's New York business fraud trial. But how damaging was her testimony? Here's Glenn with an update on Trump's trial.
So friends, Donald Trump's longtime aide and confidant, Hope Hicks, testified as a prosecution witness against Donald Trump in his New York trial, his trial for trying to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. And she testified as not just any old witness, but as the prosecution's last witness before the trial broke for the weekend. And there's been a good bit of discussion and debate about just how damaging Hope Hicks' testimony was. Well, let's start with the new reporting. And then let's talk about why the prosecutors in the case clearly believe that Hope Hicks' testimony is damaging, maybe even devastating, even if it's not entirely obvious to outside observers. But let's start with the new reporting. This from the New York Times. Headline, Trump and his one-time confidant meet again, this time in a courtroom. And that article begins, her voice low, her posture tense. The woman who spent years steering Donald Trump through strife and scandal stepped to the witness stand on Friday, carrying a different burden. She was there under the fluorescent lights of a dreary Manhattan courtroom, seated 15 feet from the former president she once fiercely defended to testify at his criminal trial. I'm really nervous, Hope Hicks, the one-time Trump spokeswoman, messaging maestro, and all-around advisor, acknowledged to the prosecutor questioning her, declaring what was already obvious to the riveted courtroom. Miss Hicks, who fell out of favor with Mr. Trump once it emerged that she had privately voiced anger at the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol by his supporters, said in her testimony that they had not spoken in nearly 2 years. Mr. Trump, who faces up to 4 years in prison, is on trial for 34 felony charges of falsifying records to cover up a sex scandal involving a porn star. The case, brought by the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, is the first criminal prosecution of an American president. The prosecution summoned Ms. Hicks, against her will, to demonstrate what it says was Mr. Trump's outsized role in the suppression of that scandal and others. She testified, interspersing plenty of apologetic compliments, that Mr. Trump was an image-obsessed micromanager. She also acknowledged that it seemed implausible that Michael Cohen, Mr. Trump's fixer, would pay hush money to the porn star Stormy Daniels without the then-candidate's say-so. And Ms. Hicks testified that Mr. Trump had shown awareness of that payoff years after the fact. Quote, Mr. Trump's opinion, she said, was that it would have been bad to have that story come out before the election. Ms. Hicks' testimony was key to the prosecution's case, including when she recalled a potentially crucial conversation. Quote, "I believe I heard Mr. Trump speaking to Mr. Cohen shortly after the story was published," she said, which prosecutors might use to argue that Mr. Trump was involved in the machinations. And she delivered a memorable observation that bolstered the prosecution's argument that Mr. Trump directed Mr. Cohen's payment. She scoffed at a prosecution question, prompting her to consider whether Mr. Cohen would have made the $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels out of the kindness of his heart. That sort of altruistic move, Hicks said, would be out of character for Michael. The testimony marked a stunning spectacle. A former president's confidant turned against him.
On the way, Glenn discusses why he thinks the prosecutors put Hope Hicks on the stand as the last witness before the jury leaves for the weekend. This is Justice Matters.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Former Trump aide Hope Hicks gave emotional testimony against Donald Trump in his New York election interference trial. Glenn says what she said on the stand was more incriminating than you think.
So friends, why do I say that the prosecutors in the case obviously think that Ms. Hicks' testimony is sharply incriminating of Donald Trump when, you know, on its face, it doesn't look like a blockbuster admission, right? A huge confession out of Donald Trump's mouth. Here's why I say that. First of all, when you are trying a criminal case and you have a weekend break coming up, I can promise you that prosecutors will always put a witness they believe is really damaging before the jury on a Friday afternoon, try to elicit something they believe will be sharply incriminating, deeply damaging, even if it's not instantly obvious because there is more testimony coming, there are more witnesses, there is more evidence that will likely end up dovetailing with what Ms. Hicks said in that courtroom on a Friday afternoon. But prosecutors like to put something that is pretty incriminating before the jury, right before they break for the weekend. Why? So they can go home and think about it over the course of the weekend. Let it sink in. That is a tried and true tactic of not only prosecutors, but defense attorneys will do the same thing. When they're presenting their evidence come Friday afternoon, they'll try to put on some evidence that seems to be favorable to the defendant so they can send the jury home over the weekend to think about that favorable evidence or information. Here's another reason I say the prosecutors likely view Hope Hicks' testimony as quite damning. We don't know what the other witnesses will say, what the upcoming witnesses will say, what other evidence will be introduced, and how it will dovetail with what we heard from Hope Hicks. But I have a feeling when it's all said and done, and when in closing arguments, the prosecutors put the puzzle pieces together for the jurors, we're going to see why they presented Hope Hicks' testimony on a Friday afternoon. Now, in and of itself, it was pretty bad for Donald Trump that Hope Hicks said, yeah, you know, Donald Trump knew that if this information had come out before the election, it would have been real trouble for his prospects of winning the presidency. I mean, that's sort of what the case is all about, right? Donald Trump made hush money payments and criminally falsified business records to cover them up. Why? Well, because they violated campaign finance laws, among other things, and Donald Trump wanted to gain unfair advantage in the election. So even what Hope Hicks did testify to, though no, not blockbuster evidence, was still pretty sharply incriminating. But there's so much more evidence to come. And, you know, what we argue to juries as prosecutors is, you know, you don't look at any one piece of evidence in isolation in a criminal trial. Each piece of evidence is like the piece of a puzzle. What do you do when you're assembling a puzzle? Well, you put the pieces together and you see what picture emerges over time. Whereas I can promise you, the defense attorneys will argue in substance that no. What we think you should do is look at each piece of evidence in isolation. And if it doesn't prove something beyond a reasonable doubt, just set it aside, toss it out, and look at the next puzzle piece. Well, that's kind of foolish, right? The picture doesn't emerge from any one piece of the puzzle. The picture emerges, the picture in this case being, you know, Donald Trump's guilt. The picture emerges when you assemble all of the puzzle pieces and you put them together. There's another argument that prosecutors used to use. I don't know if pixels on a TV are still a thing, but if you remember back in the day when, you know, you'd have the big old screen and there were lots of little dots, little pixels, and if you put your nose right up against the screen, yes, I am showing my age now because this is a passé argument, but bear with me, friends. If you put your nose right against that old TV screen, remember the big box TV, all you would see was a lot of little dots, lots of bright colors. And if you got too close to the screen, you couldn't really make out what the picture was. But when you pulled back and all those pixels assembled into a picture, well, then you knew precisely what you were looking at. The defense attorney always urges jurors, sort of in substance, to put their nose right up against the screen, scrutinize each pixel. It's not the way you assess evidence in a criminal case. You pull back, you look at all of the evidence, and you see what picture emerges, whether puzzle pieces or pixels on a TV screen. So we're going to have to wait and see, because we have some really important witnesses coming up. We have Donald Trump's director of Oval Office Operations, Madeleine Westerhout. That is another woman who was an aide and close confidant to Donald Trump, always seemed to be in the background overhearing what was going on. We have no idea what she will bring to the table by way of incriminating evidence against Donald Trump. And of course, we have Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen. And I've said this before, friends, something to keep an eye on. The jury will assess whether Donald Trump had an encounter or a relationship with Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. And it looks like Donald Trump has prohibited his defense attorneys from giving an inch. Don't admit that I had any relationships or encounters at all. What does that do? It pits Donald Trump against those two women. And based on what we've heard of the accounts given previously, including publicly by Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels, I have to believe that jury is going to conclude that Trump had encounters and relationships with these women, and that will be an enormous point in the incriminating evidence column in favor of Donald Trump's guilt. And that conclusion, if drawn by the jurors, will tend to color everything else. You know, they will view through the prism of Donald Trump can't even admit to his relationships, his dalliances. They will view through that prism everything else Donald Trump tries to deny, like directing hush money payments to be made as opposed to Michael Cohen making them out of the goodness of his own heart, taking out a line of credit, a home equity line of credit, and paying that money out of the goodness of his own heart? Really? And they will also view through that lens Donald Trump's claim that I had nothing to do with falsifying business records. Come on, sport. You were signing $30,000 checks one after another to Michael Cohen. You knew precisely what you were doing and why you were doing it. So we'll stay tuned. We have potentially a big week of evidence coming up, and I'll be trying to unravel it. I will be trying to translate everything from legalese that goes on in the courtroom into English, so you'll get a full appreciation of what's really going on in that courtroom, and hopefully you can tune out the disinformation, the misinformation, the propaganda, and the outright lies of the Trump machinery, right? Because assessing accurately what's going on in the courtroom in this historic first criminal prosecution of a former president of the United States, like justice, matters. Friends, as always, please stay safe, please stay tuned, and I look forward to talking with y'all again tomorrow.
For more on Glenn, go to Glenn Kirshner 2 on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. This is Justice Matters.